doing housekeeping before we start, so absolutely no filming, no photography. Oh. If you guys have a camera, I will just turn it off, aim at the screen, just put it down. If you have a camera pointed away from the screen, do us a favor. If you have a phone, go ahead, just keep it in your pocket, don't tempt yourself.
It's audio recording, okay.
Further ado, Steve Gibson is going to take it.
If I want to take notes on it, can I do that?
No notes.
No notes.
Just
notes.
Like college.
No,
yeah.
No.
Just close your eyes.
You can't remember it all.
You're
a shitty recorder.
No verbal accounts.
No remembering.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When you leave here,
this
you
game
have to
does not
exist. Are we good? You guys ready over there? So, hey, let's start out with, so how many of you guys, are you familiar with Borderlands, played Borderlands, first one?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah. Awesome, that. Yeah. Our producer has also played Borderlands, that's great. Also our art director. Wonderful. Alright, so, holy shit, PAX, man, this show has been so good to us. We love PAX, we love the idea of bringing our game and just having all the gamers out there just, you know, get to come and see and play stuff like that. So, firstly, thank you guys. You guys are media, right? You know, a lot of you guys media?
I think so.
Yeah? Media and volunteers, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, volunteers, thank you for helping make this stuff happen. I'm gonna start with joke three. Joke three is, you notice we already blew the roof off this bitch. Yes. Okay. You can come after the show. I'll fill you guys in on joke one, two, and four.
We cut four.
If we want to hear four, we have to come next year.
Yes. Yes.
Four is DLC.
Yes. All right. So, you guys probably then. I'm sure all you guys know. We actually announced Borderlands way back in 2007, and then around 2009. You guys probably saw either myself or Randy or Mikey, one of us out here just begging and pleading, like, oh man, guys, please, please just give this game some attention. And like, we were in 2009, we were like, it was all sequels. I think there was like two new IPs launching in that time we were in. And we were just, I'm sure as members of the media, you guys remember, like, there was all these predictions of like, this game is just fucked. Like, you guys remember this. So I wanted to start out actually with a thank you to all of you media guys who gave Borderlands the attention that we desperately were asking for, trying to put new things in front of gamers, and you guys made Borderlands 2 possible. So thank you to all you guys for making this possible, because we stuck our neck out, man. That was crazy. So 2K and Gearbox were just, it was a big deal. So thank you. So now we made a sequel. So we actually, back in 2009, when we finished Borderlands, started thinking about what the sequel can be and what we wanted it to be. And what we knew we didn't want it to be was a quick, like, one-year turnaround, throw some levels out there, put a 2 on the box. Like, since we were out there railing against what sequels were turning into, we felt like we really wanted to make sure that we weren't going to do that. We were going to do a true sequel, as we called it at Gearbox. So in 2009, when we started to think about and work out what Borderlands 2 was, it was going to be ambitious, and we knew that. This game actually doesn't come out till Take-Two, I believe the press release is like Take-Two fiscal 2013, I'm sure you guys, you'll figure that out, but it's a lengthy, ambitious project. So we've been at this for a bit. I'll quit jabbing, and let's just go see a demo. Alright, so, you want to unpause it? Let's do this shit. Alright, so it is now, Borderlands 2, it has been 5 years since the events of the vault opening in Borderlands. You are a new adventurer. This is about a third of the way into the game. You've just been in a confrontation with a handsome Jack, and you've actually been left for dead out here in the Arctic tundra. Now, you are looking for a friend of yours who you believe has been captured by the Hyperion Corporation, which is what Handsome Jack, the company Handsome Jack runs. I'll tell you a little more about him in a bit, but let's go find our friend and let's go get some revenge. Thank you. All right, so when we looked at Borderlands 2, we knew we wanted to look at every piece of the game. So we, of course, you guys probably remember, millions of guns, we're so excited. So we really enjoyed what we did with Borderlands, and the procedurally generated weapon system worked out really well. But what we felt that we would like to do more of is a more visual diversification in style and gameplay. So what we did, is this thing working? Yeah, all right, it turned off for a second. So what we've done in this system, we actually really gutted a lot of the system to work out how it's visually different now. So you look at this, this is a TDR. And so you see it's got that metal and plastic mix. It actually looks almost a little bit cheap. This is what we call the Walmart of the gun manufacturers. So these guys have cheap disposable guns. So you can actually toss it away. So you don't actually reload a TDR. So every gun manufacturer, they all have their own theme. So he just pops off a few rounds, and every time he wants a new one, he just tosses it away. So every gun manufacturer you see is going to have different themes like this. Now what we also did next was the AI system. Now what you saw there was the Bullymon grabbing a slag mine. Hey, let him go for a second here. Now this guy just spotted the car. So what we've done, this is not scripted. What happens is the bully mongs will look for anything in the area and it'll pick up and throw that. So you saw the first guy, he was grabbing stalagmites over there. Sometimes they'll grab cars, they'll grab people. They'll do all these things. They just look for things in the world to throw at you. Other times they'll go to, say, the high ground over there on the right and they'll just try to pounce on you to do more damage. We want the AI to be less predictable, and that means you have to give them more options of ways to attack you. All right, let's keep going. You can stun him. Now what you can also do with the TDR, if you do it just right, is you see you can actually toss your disposable weapon at an enemy. And this will actually, when you hit them, you can actually do damage and stun them. And the damage is actually directly connected to how much ammo you decide to spend on the disposable. So you see, sometimes we want the players to make decisions, and we want them rewarded for actually making decisions. So you actually think about, how many bullets do I want to spend on this toss away, and hopefully you hit them and, you know, damage them or stun them. All right, we have bandit weapons. So you guys remember in Borderlands, we had the bandits, you know, spread around Pandora, and they were fending for themselves, building shacks like you have the one over here. But what was kind of funny is we actually didn't have them building weapons in Borderlands 2, we thought, well, they probably should. Now you see the bandits, that when they build weapons, you look at this thing, it's built of just bits and pieces. You look down the scope there, you see it's just nuts and bolts. It's kind of like the style of a bandit. Now these guys are not engineering masterminds, so you're not going to see major technical things, but what you are going to see is what bandits know is lots of bullets is lots of fun. So what the bandit's weapon style is, you see that clip, he's got 72 bullets in that clip. So what the advantage of the bandit is that you just don't have to reload nearly as often. So that's the theme of the bandit style weapons. Go ahead and sneak up on this guy and pop him off. Okay. Now we put this guy out here because we wanted you to see a couple of things. You see what we have going here. Now this guy's screwed. He's out here all by himself. We put him here. But we wanted you guys to see the AI system. We've actually put a lot of work into that. See, he's running your back injured and he saw the knockdown and the stagger. What we've done with the AI now, we want more situations where it's not just, I'm running around alive, I shot him and I'm dead. Now you have knockdown, stun, stagger, and you'll see more of that when we get more AI, but we want you guys to think about the AI system. We want these guys to have much more natural feeling, and we want you guys to feel like when you interact with life in the world, there's more to it. All right, vehicle system. We did every system. We looked at them all. All right, so vehicles, go ahead and hop in. Now, vehicles, those were great fun in Borderlands. That was a weak-ass power slide. So there is power sliding. So there is power sliding if you hit the button. And so another thing, when I talked about that living, breathing world, another thing you need to do is you need to have motion and life in the world. So what you're going to see a lot more of in Borderlands 2 is just things that are moving. So you're going to go throughout, where are we in this springs here? So you got these things moving up and down. We want everything you do in Borderlands 2, we want it to feel like there's things happening before you get there and after you leave. We want less of the situation where you come into a room and there's like three dudes standing there just staring at the door and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we want more to that. There's another perfect example, actually. Back over these little shits. Yeah, now you see when you run over these guys, you see that guy's knocked down. So now your interaction, so what we want is anytime you interact with life in the world, be it with pistols or cars or anything like that, we want those interactions to feel more natural. We want it to be a living, breathing world. All right, next thing is we want, in Borderlands 2, one of the goals was less time in menus. So what we've done is put a little mini map up here in the corner. There you go, less time looking at the map going like, where the hell am I again? And more just like, okay, I know exactly where I'm going and there's my waypoint, so go ahead. All right, so Hyperion is holding our friend at the top of the dam here, but first we need to make it through the Bloodshot Bandits who set up camp. Now, there are now factions in Borderlands 2, and the Bloodshot Bandits are the first guys we've got to get through. So our old friends, the Psychos. So what we wanted to show you guys, if you look at these, you remember the Psychos, now you see the new system plugged into your old favorite. So you see you guys knocked down, stagger, you see all the dodging over there, crawling, getting back up. We wanted you guys to see, like, what's it like with all the new stuff plugged into one of the guys, your old favorite. So now you saw that when he was mowing these guys down. I mean, they're still Psychos, so they just tend to put their face in front of the bullets. But when you run into the more intelligent guys, you'll see all those systems plugged into more intelligent guys, and it gets to be really fun. All right, let's get a couple more smart guys here. All right, so now you have a Marauder here, and now you're seeing, hey, these guys are running for cover. What the Marauders do is that if you're running more intelligent enemies, you're actually going to see these guys use cover. They're going to cooperate with the AI, now communicates with each other. So you oftentimes, if you injure a guy enough, he's going to run for cover and actually start retreating from, you know, cover to cover to cover to regroup with his friends, so that he can actually come at you in what we call run a play, where they're actually, you're going to have the alpha helping direct, and these guys are going to come at you in a more organized manner. We want the AI to, you know, work together, and we want you guys to think about how the AI is communicating. And you'll see that more when we get further in. Let him run. Oh, or knock him down. Now, one of the other things we want to do with the AI is we want it to be a situation where you're not always thinking about... So you know how when you're playing a game and you're like, oh, there's a stairwell, I'll take three steps up. I know these guys don't know how to use stairs because they're dumb AI. We want it to be a situation where you're playing the game and you're not worrying about what the AI can and can't do. So we want the AI to be able to go to places that you can go. So it's no longer just kind of gaming the system. It's more about thinking about engaging in combat. And so you don't ever just think about the limitations of the AI. You just think about, I'm engaging this guy, I know what his abilities are. You don't think about, oh, they don't know how to use stairs. So we want the AI to be go anywhere that you can go.
It's time for the big guns!
Still Borderlands, still midgets on shields, because why the fuck not? Now there's actually some gameplay attached to this as well though. Now if Adam can actually knock these chains off, oh well done. Now the midget's actually not, oh, that was... Now usually you can actually take advantage of the midget being a nomad being distracted. But another thing, Adam's showing this off pretty well. We want to reward gamers for trying out different weapons. So what you see there is actually Adam using the TDR to pop the shield back, and then he'll switch over to the bandit gun to finish the guy off. What we want is, we want gamers to experience more weapons in Borderlands 2. And you don't do that by just saying, hey, please try all the guns out. You do that by rewarding them. So what we have is situations like that where the TDR is popping the shield back and then he's actually switching to another gun to finish the guy off. We want gamers to experience more, but we need to reward them and show them, you know, how this would be more. We want the experience to be bigger and greater and better, but we need to compel them to do that. All right, let's go find a buddy. Oh, wait, we got a skill tree. You leveled up. Perfect. So, look at that. We worked on the UI a lot. This guy over here, you and Shields, right? All right. So what we wanted to have a better experience in Borderlands 2 was you get into that split screen situation. You remember when you're doing the skill tree and you're like, fucking scroll thing. So if you look at this, you can imagine. So now we have this vertical system where it worked better in split screen situations. You imagine when you have a PC, you'll actually be able to, you know, click on skills. Imagine that. We want the experience with the UI to be much more natural and work better in all, more situations. So we put a lot of work into that. Now, what we've also done actually with the skills themselves, so you're a Gunzerker. Now, you guys remember the Berserker in Borderlands, and you remember the guy who goes fucking batshit, pulls his fist out, starts wailing on people, and that was lots of fun. Now, what was kind of like the downside of what actually we wanted more was like he loses his ranged attack though. So why not give the guy guns with those two hands? So there you go. Now you have a Gunzerker, so he goes crazy, but we put a couple of guns in this guy's hand. So now this guy's dual wielding, he's batshit. So what we've also done with the skills though, in addition to that, is that now that once you activate your skill, oftentimes say you get, you know, it's lots of fun, 15, 20 levels in, but say imagine you get to like level 35 or so, and you're like, awesome, level 35, oh, a 2% bump to my firing rate. And it's that reward doesn't feel like it's as rich anymore. So what we've done in Borderlands 2 is we've added game changers. So later on in the skill trees now, you're going to have situations where you're going to actually be able to have a major significant change to how your skill works and how you play the game. We want gamers to actually feel rewarded, and we want them to feel growth and change in the later stages of Borderlands 2, and not just the early first half when it comes to their skill trees. Get a torque here. Another guy, these guys, their theme is the gyrojet. So imagine that ammo type attached to submachine guns and all those things like that. Lots of fun. Alright, so another thing, we're going to actually join in Grenada Co-op over here. Now, we loved co-op in Borderlands, I'm sure you guys did too. What we wanted to do a little bit more of, though, is that the quest eligibility system. It can get frustrating sometimes. Say you're playing with your friend for 5-10 hours, and then say Matt over here, he has to run off to his bar mitzvah or his parole hearing, whatever he's got going on. And Adam's like, dude, like, you can't go join my game. You're not eligible anymore. So we put a lot of work into trying to make the system work better for people to actually be able to rejoin and have eligibility back with their quests again. We want people to play together as much as they can. Now, Matt is playing as Maya. That is our new siren. Now you guys remember Lilith, the siren from Borderlands? She had the phase walk ability. Now, every siren in the Borderlands Pandora universe is unique. So Lilith was the phase walking siren, and Maya, she has another power we're not showing off today, but she is a new siren. So our friend is being held up here somewhere. Now, you guys remember the whole living, breathing world thing. One other thing we wanted to do is say he's looking off here to your left. You have Hyperion City, the bridge, grasslands over here, some other stuff we're not talking about, and the desert over here, pipelines, all that stuff. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff on the other side of the dam. What we wanted to have happen is oftentimes, you know, you're playing a video game, right? And you see, like, say you see this cool grasslands over here, and you're running towards it, and you hit this invisible wall. And you're like, fuck, video games. And it doesn't feel like a world anymore. So what we've done is in Borderlands 2, when you see this area here, we want this to feel geographically correct. So when you head off in this direction and you see something like that, when you walk there, you can go there. The whole idea is that we want you to have geographical context in Borderlands 2. It's a simple thing, but we think it should be done. Mordecai and Bricks are now all back in Borderlands 2. They are now NPCs as a part of the story. So Roland here is being held captive by Hyperion. Now you notice those are combat engineers. Hyperion Corporation was actually originally a mining corporation. So Handsome Jack had repurposed this and made it more of a war machine. And Handsome Jack also has taken credit for its opening the vault. Leg off one of you guys. Roland agrees. Nice. So you guys see different variants of loaders. Borderlands, as you guys remember, all kinds of variants of all the enemies. Lots more than Borderlands 2. Robot reinforcements from moon bases, extremely important to game design. Borderlands 2 features robots from moon bases. Use your dual wheel too while we're here. Now you saw Adam dual-wielding assault rifles there. You can actually dual-wield any two weapons that you want in Borderlands 2. So you can be submachine guns, shotguns, sniper rifles for whatever reason that you're into. Alright, so what you guys probably noticed by now is this is a moving quest item. What we've done in Borderlands 2 is we wanted everything you do to be more connected to the story and to the world. So we actually done a couple of things to accomplish that. Firstly, we took the lead designer and lead writer, we tied them up and put them in the room together, so they're actually working in the same room for the duration of Borderlands 2. Now secondly, we needed to get them better technology to enable that. So we've actually reworked the questing system to enable things like, say, this moving quest item. We want more situations where you feel like an adventure. We want you to go from point to point to point on a forward motion thing, and less of a situation where it's just, oh, I'm going to fetch something, return, fetch for something, return, over and over. We want to feel more organic, more like an adventure. So we want to do everything we can to accomplish that. I mentioned the AI working together, so we wanted to put this example for you guys. You see the badass warlord, he actually called in for help and reinforcements there, and you have these surveyors that came in and started healing him. Well, we have a situation where we have AI now actually complementing each other and have different functions. So the surveyors, they'll come in and start healing, and when they're done with that, they're turned to a more reflective situation where they're actually, you shoot at them, they'll bounce bullets back at you. You have other guys come in who actually help amplify damage, things like that. We want the player to actually start making tactical decisions in combat. It's more of a situation where you look at the entire battlefield and you figure out what you need to do, and less of a thing like, oh, this guy's closest to me, I'll shoot him. We want players to actually think about their battle a little bit more. We want to reward them for doing that. We got a gun? Ooh, wow. So the Vladoff manufacturer, as you guys can see, bullet hose, as we like to call it at Gearbox. You have these spinning, massive fire rate barrels. And you have to see this thing attached to, you know, assault rifles here, shotguns, gets to be lots of fun, submachine guns. You have different barrel counts and different things like that, but this is the theme for the Vladoff. The surveyor will probably, he'll probably call in for a surveyor, and you actually see him come and digitruck the guy. Now you see the surveyors there, now they're actually reflecting bullets as you fire at them. So that's a little piece of Borderlands 2. Thank you guys very much for coming to see it. We cannot wait to bring it to you, and thank you guys for making this possible. We greatly appreciate what you guys have done for us, so thank you again. Oh, yeah, do we have any time for a question or two, or we got to hurry doing? Also, just in case you're wondering, yes, don't use a gun.